Death is a change in the appreciation of the vibrations in which we live. It is like switching from one program on the radio to another. Our etheric body responds to a higher frequency of the vibrations which are all around us, and consequently, when we pass on, we, at first, are in the same place as we were when we were alive on Earth. Then, with consciousness and health returned, we rise to the plane for which we are fitted, but our surroundings at first are so alike this Earth that some find it difficult to appreciate that they have passed from Earth, until they meet their friends who had made the change before them. Thus, they come to realize the fact that death is an experience which no one need fear, as it is painless and like going to sleep, to awaken in a new body in a beautiful country where their friends are waiting to welcome them. We all will have a wonderful experience someday, but it is only the few who know it. Until we understand what death is, we cannot understand what life is, and this profound thought will be appreciated as we read on. 95. Chapter 7, The Arrival. The traveler, having made the journey, is generally met on arrival by relatives or friends. The actual passage has been peaceful and without effort, like going to sleep in one place and awakening in another. All that had been treasured on earth has been left behind to become a memory. Momentarily, he is naked in a new world, his etheric body, resembling his earth body, being the only visible thing he can call his own. He feels himself naked, and thinks of clothes which at once appear on him. There the idea is creative, and consequently clothing appears around this naked substance, and, when friends come to greet him, his self-respect has returned. He is no longer ashamed of his nakedness. This is how one who has had this experience put it to us. There are so many things on this side of life which you cannot understand yet. Of course you cannot, because I could not understand them myself when I first came over. It is a gradual unfoldment. While in Earth life I used to wonder what kind of life this would be, and what clothes I would have, on the spirit side of life. In fact, I used to wonder if there was a spirit side at all. I hoped for it but was not at all certain. The day I passed out of the body I felt very much alone. I knew I was out of the body. 96. And I felt afraid. I looked down at myself and found I was nude, and then a voice out of the haze said to me, "Come hither, my brother, and be not afraid." I approached the light, and immediately I drew near to the light I was instantly clothed. Thought in Etheria is a much greater reality than it appears to be on Earth. Objects there, existing in tenuous etheric substance, are as real to Etherians as objects are to us on Earth, but creation can come about by thought in what might be called thought substance. On Earth we first image our creation and then develop it by our hands, when it becomes real to us and to other thinking creatures, but their imagination seems able to create or mold this tenuous substance without the need of hands. So they fashion their clothes, their homes, and the subjects most dear to them by their thoughts, which thus become real to them and to others. By collective willing they can create what they wish and dispel what they wish. As they think, they are, and it is because of that they lay such stress on our mental development on Earth. This difference between the two worlds is difficult to grasp, and it is one of the many surprises we shall experience when we arrive in the other world. Surprise seems to be the predominant feeling of new arrivals. This is what we were told about their first emotional condition. The most surprising thing to many is to find that they are just the same and that they are not in heaven and they are not in hell. They are just where the good God has meant them to be for the time being. It is a beautiful world. Those they have. 97. Left behind are their chief anxiety, and their greatest desire is to get into contact with them and let them know that they are still alive. That desire will be granted in time when they get a little rest and have recovered from their crossing. Christian doctrine has misled people with regard to heaven and hell, and the parable of the rich man and Lazarus is no doubt largely responsible for the dogma that heaven and hell are separate places, and that there is a great gulf fixed between the two which neither side can cross. This, we are now told from the other side, is quite untrue. Heaven shades off into hell and hell shades off into heaven by numberless imperceptible gradations. Each plane is in advance of the plane inferior to it, and consequently, from the lower to the higher planes, there is a graded system of progress. Every step forward implies an added capacity, and an increased power of enjoyment of the beautiful scenery and the perfect climate. We were often told about the friends who will be waiting to meet us when our turn comes to make the change called death. This is what one had to say. They are all waiting at the Golden Gate, and when the sun shines bright on it, earth will fade. I use the name Golden Gate as an expression, symbolical of the entrance from the physical to the spirit side of life where you shall all meet again and there is no parting. Here all misunderstandings are cleared away, and the little pinpricks prick no more, and every tangled thread is straightened out forever. Here we are all brothers and sisters, helping and cheering each other on our eternal journey through life. 98. A relation in Etheria of a lady present once said, "You will get many beautiful surprises when you come over here, and one of these will be when you meet your mother. She was the finest little lady that I ever knew in earth life." A Scotsman put it this way: "I am no dead, ye ken there are nane, none, of us stayed. We have just reached the land of light supernal that gleams so bright afar. We have reached our home eternal, we have met our loved ones there. Help, guidance, and friendly advice are always available for the new arrival." This is what was said during the Second World War, when so many were passing over at an early age. No one is left alone on coming over here, not one passes the borderline without some ministering one receiving them, and they are the more favored who get their own friends. Many of those who are coming over at the present time are not conscious of their passing. They have given little, if any, thought to the spiritual side of life while on the earth plane, and they are very confused. They had not been schooled in the way of life that you, my friends, have been. You know what to expect in a general way, but they had not that knowledge. Another time, we received this graphic description of what the passing over meant to one who had hope, but lacked knowledge. "It is only a voice from the other shore towards which you are all traveling, but you are more fortunate than some of us. We made the journey in the bygone days without your knowledge and understanding." 99. Nearly all of you have some understanding of life on this side. I do not mean those present, but people in general do know more positively that there is something beyond the terminus. To me it was a problem. I did not disbelieve it, but I could not fully grasp it. Oh joy of joys, when the time came when I reached the end of the road. I had no doubts, no dubiety, about the other side of life then. That shining light which greeted me as I left the old tenement of clay dispelled all doubts, and that lovely face which I had loved so long, long ago, was the first to smile on me. I saw the light from the other shore while in the body. I was hoping for it, but I had no certainty. I was hoping and dared to think that my hopes would be realized, and, oh joy of joys, just the one I wanted most was the one dear face that through the mists looked down on me. Another put it this way: "There are many bright forms on the other side of life waiting to greet you when you come over, all loving you as I love those I left behind in earth life. You could not but love when you have such a one as I have to love. Those who are sad and weary on earth can get this comfort. There is not a weary soul on our side of life. If there are weary ones when they first come over, there are always those who help them and show them the way. So that we shall be able to recognize our friends who have gone before, when our time comes to greet them once again, they make themselves appear as we knew them on earth." 100. Those who love you on your side of life, and come here before you, will cling around your plane and will try to pick you up just as they left you in the old days, and then you will all progress together. There is nothing lost. It is only a case of gone before for a little while. There is nothing forgotten. There is no good deed, no little kindness shown, no little good thought deep in your heart, but is accounted for, and goes to perfect and beautify that emancipated soul of yours when it passes out of the physical into the spiritual side of life. Always the stress was on conduct and character. As we sow, so shall we reap, as we are here, so shall we be there. It is up to yourselves, every one of you, to have a beautiful dwelling on the spirit side of life, a beautiful home. You are laying the foundations of it while you travel on earth, each one of you. Keep the shining clear light of the Father before you as you travel the devious paths of the earth life, until, in his good time, he says, "Come hither, and take up your new duties on the spirit side of life." Then you will find the embellishments of your labor portrayed in the dwelling which is prepared for you. God bless you and help you to make a beautiful home. Each of us will occupy the place for which we are fitted, because the mind of each of us determines exactly our destination. You have a body just as you have now, love is the propelling force. The one you love best will draw you like a magnet when you come over here. She is preparing a home for you just now. Where you land depends on the life you have lived in there. 101. Body. Do not get elated about yourselves, or direct your thoughts on what you can do for yourselves, but trust in the great Father God to guide you rightly. It has been said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." These are states, not what many think the word implies, and you cannot acquire these states until you attune yourself even on the side of life where you are now, and after you come over, for, remember, there is progress even in the earth life. A man, well known in Glasgow business circles before he passed on, came often to speak to his wife, who was a regular sitter. This is what he once told us. "Out of the turmoil of life I have reached that land which I, in a hazy way, knew existed. I believed in it, but in a hazy way. I did not realize the reality of it just so exactly as my beloved partner did, and as she would have liked me to do. I had not the clear knowledge that she had, but I know now that it is the right thing. I have met those I loved so well." There is something intrinsically right and superbly precious in doing one's duty in earth life. You understand what I mean? Every little faithful duty performed which has been on one's conscience, or one's mind, will be taken account of. I recognize, through passing, how much I missed which you dear people have from time to time been imbued with, the knowledge of the contact with the spirit side of life. Someone in the circle once asked an Aetherian on which plane he would find himself, to receive this straight answer. 102. "Well, that depends on the life you have lived on earth. You will go just to the plane that is most suited to the environment of the life you have lived. You understand, I hope, what I mean. It depends first on the life you have lived on earth, and the attitude of the mind on your spirit body when it comes to the other side of life, in what condition you will arrive. That entirely lies with yourself, with the persons themselves, you know what I mean. It depends on the life you have lived in the body, and what you have done to help others and to serve the great Master's cause, without any thought of yourself but for the great glory of God and for the extension of his kingdom." From the foregoing, we notice the effect of the mind on the etheric body. The mind determines the vibrations of the etheric body, and the vibrations determine the plane on which we shall live. On another occasion we were told, "Your reception, and the place occupied immediately when you come to this side of life, will be in accordance with the condition you have built up on earth. There is no limit to your expansion afterwards, but I love to be near the earth plane as I feel I can help those who are coming over. I let my supplications arise to the great ruler of all the worlds who made them all that this old earth which I used to inhabit will soon find peace. Let us link our prayers together. A chain of prayer is a good thing, a powerful thing, if you have faith to believe it. I will say good day now. You all look kind, and canty, cheerful, and nice. God bless you." 103. All who lead a decent unselfish good life on earth, and think of others as well as of themselves, will find that all is well with them when they make the change. Religious faith is a help and comfort to many on earth, but no one should rely on creedal beliefs for a place in the hereafter. This will be determined by our life, by our thoughts, our aspirations, and by our deeds. So we were told. When you leave the body, you will find, if your life has not been a one-sided service for yourself alone, but of service to God as well as man, not by lip service but by a conscientious striving to help others, all will be well with you when you make the crossing. These are the things that count. During the Second World War, much was said of the many lives which were being sacrificed on earth, and of their arrival in a new world. Once we heard this, you have no conception of the host of spirits coming to the other side of life at the present time, and it is such a big undertaking to try and help them all. Meeting them and helping them kept them so occupied, that from time to time they gave that as a reason for their absence from previous seances. When once asked about a friend on the other side, the sitters were told by an Etherian, the mother of a lady present, that I do not see him just now. We are all so busy. Now, Mr. Hart, you are the mathematician. You will know how many thousands and thousands of dear boys are coming over, and it is difficult to get in touch with the right one. We do try to help. 104. Them all we can. We are all traveling home. I am speaking to you all. The people who ordinarily come to you, at Mrs. Lang's home, cannot readily come at present. They are busy otherwise. I do not forget things now, Chrissy. I am sure I must have been a tremendous annoyance to you, dear, but I have got my memory now. At times they found conditions difficult during the war. We are all, every one of us on this side, delighted to come, but it is a difficult matter to get through under present conditions. If we cannot speak to you properly at the present time, we shall try and return at some other time. What follows will be a comfort to those who lost relations and friends during the war. May it comfort you to know that, although there are thousands upon thousands coming over at the present time, there are multitudes of ministering spirits working to help them into the pathway of peace. Give out your thoughts and your love, and we will do all we can to help. The change from one kind of life to another was so sudden for so many, that most of these war casualties were confused and found it difficult to realize what had happened. Addressing a gentleman present, he was told by a speaker from the other side, Mr. Cameron, I think sometimes if you could just get a look beyond the veil at this present time, and see the chaos between the two worlds, it would make you think. And the one great urge of all these boys who are being thrown over here at the present time is to find someone, some way, of telling their 105 friends that they are not dead. It is a very real world, friends, a very real world, and not what I had been led to expect, a heaven where there was only singing and praying. It is a lively world at the present time, and I am working hard in it. One sitter could not understand why the speaker used the word chaos with reference to the other world, and said so. It is not the other world that is in chaos, was the reply, but the minds of so many new arrivals. These were his words. I am speaking about the chaos and the confusion of the thousands of souls who are coming over to the spirit side of life, thrown over before their time. You see what I mean, it is so unnatural to us. And to me personally. I feel it is a tragedy this killing, ushering into the eternal sure of life thousands of people who are not fitted for the journey, and it is left to humble servants, such as I am, to try and point the way. There is one beautiful point about this just now, if there could be one beautiful point about it, and that is, the thought that they speedily realize that they are no longer in the body, and that they are over on this side. This grief at earth life being cut short for so many was expressed thus on another occasion. What saddens us here so much is to see the young, the noble, and the good, ushered into this side of life just when they would have been of so much help to humanity. You know what I mean. They will, however, still react and affect you from this side when they come here. I am going now, good day. Again, we were told. 106. It is such a tragedy. It is beyond all words, and it is not the will of the Great Father. It is man's thoughts and inhumanity that has brought this about. It is not the wish of the great ones on my side of life, but it is the confused thoughts which are in the hearts of the people in the world today, which has brought about this tragedy. If they had known this truth, those who have brought about this catastrophe would never have done so. God bless you, friends. Another time, someone present said to an Etherian on the other side that war is caused by lust for power and lust for gain, and brought about by lack of understanding. That is the real cause, lack of understanding. There are many in your world today who have feet of clay, but they too someday will understand. God's love overcomes all. Ignorant of how to live righteously on earth, and ignorant of what is coming to them when they die, mankind has wasted his substance on war and superstition. So the majority arrive on the other side mystified, until they are made to understand the truth, and what has really happened to them. When one of us said he supposed many of the new arrivals will not know where they are, the reply was given. That is the thing, to get them to understand, for some are coming over with such confused ideas about the other side of life that it is difficult to help them. A child in the other world once remarked, "You would be surprised if you knew what an army of little ones are helping in this work, for they 107. Are coming over to our beautiful land without the knowledge of anything at all of what is coming to them. They see us happy and they want to join in and be happy too. We were told that no one need be anxious about those who had sacrificed their lives during the war. You need not worry about those who are passing over. There is not a battle area on the whole of your plain, either on land or sea, that has not thousands of ministering angels to help those who suffer. Even those who are very badly mangled feel no pain. Very gently they are carried over to the other side by those who are engaged in this merciful work. They will not be allowed to suffer or sorrow. It is those who are left behind to mourn for them we are sorry for, more particularly for those who have not the bright hope and knowledge which you have here, who know that dear ones gone are out of all care and trouble, their struggles over, and they are home at last among friends. This was told us at another seance. It is nice to know, after life's turmoil and trouble, we can reach this haven of rest, this home of peace, and can still do what we will to help one another along life's path. I am looking after some of the dear boys who are coming over at present, who have mothers in the earth life who are sad about them, wondering how it can be God's will that they should be taken. We tried to impress upon them that their boys can still be very close to them, but my duty does not stop there. I meet those boys and try to comfort them with the knowledge that they have now done with their 108. Earth life and have entered into a new and fuller life. Another said, "It is very difficult to tune into your conditions just now. The vibrations around you are so difficult to manage, and more energy is taken from our reserves to try and ease the pathway, to show the light, to open the way to those who are making the crossing through this war, and that is a beautiful duty to feel that we can bring comfort to someone, to convince them that they are no longer the tenants of their earth body." Then once a few words of sympathy were expressed. God bless you all, and may the great master of all have pity on the old world today, and the sad hearts on it, on the suffering and all who suffer with them, and may this strife be speedily brought to an end. Amen. Amen. Now, one last quotation on the subject of those who have passed over because of war and its effects. We are doing the best we can for you. It is not easy to direct the course of things in the world today, either from our side or your side. It is difficult to come into contact with those who are passing, and then go and try to console those who have lost their dear ones for a little time, for not all have the beautiful knowledge, and the beautiful understanding, that you have here, that in the body we have no abiding city and will all pass over in God's good time to the great reality. There is just such a mass of humanity coming into the spirit side of life at the present time that it is beyond the comprehension of your minds to understand it, and we cannot put it into words, but I, 109, might put it in this way: it is difficult to get them sorted out. I think you will understand what I mean. Some are willing to listen and some are just as obstinate and unwilling to be led into the way that leads upwards and onwards. I say it remains possible for you in the earth life, who understand, to throw out your sympathy and your love to those who have passed over through this war, and to let your kind thoughts go out to them as comrades and friends, because it is wonderful how quickly on this side of life they come to see what a foolish, foolish thing they had done to be killing and hating each other, and the feeling of enmity is soon forgotten. Your loving thoughts and prayers can help them to arrive more quickly at this conclusion. If you could just realize the condition of chaos in which they come over, you would send all the love possible, but they are immediately put into the hands of those best fitted to help them. Every loving thought that we give helps them, and every loving thought coming from those on the earth side of life is immediately directed to those who most require it. Some general remarks will now be given. This is what was said by friends in Etheria to their friends on Earth who were present at these little gatherings. During a conversation, the grandfather of a lady present remarked, "You will be surprised at the number of people you will meet when you come over beside us, people that have practically passed out of your recollection." On another occasion, the son in Etheria of one of the sitters remarked to all present, "When you come over here there is a great joy." 110. And satisfaction in meeting with friends whom you have known in the stony path of life, who have stumbled perhaps and gone a little under, but who have always pulled up again and tried to march steadily onwards until the old tenement of clay is left behind, and the spirit, the real man and real woman, emerges to live a nobler, higher and more perfect life. Another expressed the hope that someday the veil will be drawn aside, and I hope it will be drawn aside in a beautiful way, that will usher each of you into the spirit land beside those you love. May the peace, the joy, which cometh from the great I Am, be in your hearts and minds and your souls today, and guard your steps all through your journey in life, preparing the way to your beautiful home, and making those on this side rejoice in your efforts and successes, and give you a joyous entry into your life on this side. When an elderly sitter remarked that he had not much to live for, a man in Etheria encouraged him with these words: "The world is just beginning for you, my dear old friend. A beautiful world is just beginning. Though your friends are lost to sight, they are just starting afresh in a new and glorious experience of life. You will all have that experience by and by. Don't worry. Don't faint by the way. Take up all the little crosses you meet on your journey. Shoulder them nobly. They are the stepping stones to the brighter day and the brighter world beyond, when, duty achieved, labor done, you come home at last. God bless you." 111. Another Etherian had his regrets on reaching the new life. He expressed them to his wife, who was present, in these words: "I wish I had understood this better when I was amongst you. I realize now that I missed a lot. Had I taken the opportunity of mixing with these nice friends of yours when I was in Earth life, I would have understood more when I came over to this side." A frequent speaker sent this message to his fiancée. It was passed on to her. "Tell Mary, in a note, someone will transcribe it for you and send it on. Tell her that I am waiting at the Golden Gateway until the day dawns in God's good time when her little pilgrimage is finished. I will be there with outstretched hands to meet my Mary." God bless you, Mary, from John Hardman. Mr. Sloan, the medium, then asked someone in the circle how long it was since Mr. Hardman had died, to be answered at once by Hardman himself. "Not dead, John Sloan, but alive. And I was very much in the land of wonder for some time. I will explain it to you, and I hope you will forgive me for taking up so much of your time. You see, I did not believe in the afterlife, and when I came here I was bewildered with the wonder of the knowledge that it was all true. I did not deserve the kindness showered upon me by those who came to help me. I knew then that I had made a mistake. It is all over now, and I will try to help you, all of you who come here, if the opportunity comes, now and again. I know what it is to be lonely,